You're listening to the More Time, More Profit podcast, the best place for entrepreneurs who are looking to grow past the startup phase of their business, but still need to learn how to free up more time to drive more profit. Now, present these real strategies, your successful business coaches and hosts, Adam John and Grant Muriel.
Welcome to More Time, More Profit, episode number 66. Today we're talking about how to generate sales through strategic partnerships with Simon Novello. My name is Adam John, and as always, I'm joined by Mr. Grant Muriel. What's going on, Grant?
Not much, buddy. There is no easy way than receiving warm leads, then getting it referred to you. You and your business automatically receive the best friend treatment thanks to that warm introduction. So this episode is going to be quite in depth. So before we get started, download the notes at www.moretimemoreprofit.com/066 for episode 66.
So today we're focusing on strategic partnerships, in particular, how to align ourselves with companies that to generate more sales. If you have the right strategic partners in place, your business can instantly change overnight. We discussed the VIP referral program back in episode number 63. So go ahead and put that one on your playlist as it will complement this show nicely. The fact is that we spend massive amounts of money on paid and pay advertising, both online and offline. Maybe you do cold calling for hours or you do hours prospecting, but nothing comes close to developing strategic relationships with like-minded businesses. In my own business, we've generated millions and millions in revenue simply by teaming up with other businesses. We aligned ourselves with them culturally and through core values. We ensured we shared the same demographic, and we came up with a win-win for both companies where both companies prospered. Grant, whenever you and I go out and ask business owners what their number one problem is, they always respond with, we need more sales. So today we're delivering on this promise. So strap yourselves in and listen up. Grant, your thoughts on this subject.
Yeah, mate, look, I couldn't agree more. Strategic partnerships are a gold mine, as many entrepreneurs do not have the time, money, or effort at the start of their business journey to build out a large paid advertising campaign or to sit on the phone doing a whole heap of cold callings just to convert people into sales. This means that we always need to be extremely smart with our time to ensure it creates the largest ROI with the least amount of input, which is why strategic partnerships are so valuable, because if done right, all of the sales become your sales. So there are many situations where a strategic partner could refer your business. When they make a sale, when they complete a piece of work, have a customer that has a need that they cannot fulfill, get a lead that they've got no capacity to deliver to, get a lead that requires too much or too unique of a solution, they potentially lose the client or reject their pitch, or even a client could come to them that's not of a high enough value. All of these scenarios could trigger that strategic partnership or even that referral across to us. And it is your job as an entrepreneur to find, build, and maintain these relationships. And this is where it gets tough, because there are very few of us who know how to actively research who could be a strategic partner. But even that, how do we get our foot in the door? And even what do we pitch them in order for them to say yes to us? So we're going to be covering top to bottom of strategic partnerships in today's episodes, so it will no longer be a problem for you anymore. And by the end of this episode, you'll be able to build your strategic partnerships consistently, be able to get others in your team to do it for you, and just always, always be receiving leads from other people. So let's jump into it.
Today we've got Simon Novello on the show. Welcome, Simon.
Thanks, Adam. It's a pleasure to be here. And that was all extremely well said.
Simon is the Managing Director of Partner to Grow, a company that teaches people how to form lucrative and effective business relationships to build thriving businesses faster with less stress. Sounds right up our alley, Grant. She's worked in partnerships divisions for banks, marketing groups, and private campaigns for the best part of two decades, so she knows a thing or two about the subject. She's someone who I've been trying to get on the show for the best part of 3 months because I truly believe in her message. She's a mum, a superstar on stage and in the training room, and someone you pay attention to for that work-life balance that everyone is searching for. It's an absolute pleasure having you on the show, Simon. So tell me how you fell into, or was pulled into this awesome world of building partnerships.
Well, it's really interesting, Adam, because at university, the only high distinction I ever got was in business-to-business marketing. So clearly B2B was always a pathway that I was destined to follow. And then in my career, I found myself working in large-scale loyalty programs with airlines and major banks and a lot of very large brands. And a lot of those programs are fundamentally based on the power of their partnerships. So we hosted a VIP breakfast last week at UTS, which is the University of Technology, Sydney. And We had some representatives there from Qantas who, you know, by their own word, said that their whole company exists thanks to their partnerships. So it's a path I've always been drawn down. I really believe we do better together. I've had the privilege to work on thousands of partnerships between companies of all sizes. And I've seen firsthand where the common failure points are and how astonishingly it can transform a business when they're done well.
Yeah, that's brilliant. So what was that aha moment in your professional career? We know you studied at university and then you went on to certain roles within companies. Did you develop a strategic partnership for a company that you work for where you're just like, this is amazing, or an aha moment where you said, this is what I'm going to teach to other people for a living?
Well, yes. I mean, I always saw the power of partnerships in terms of the ROI being around 9 times. You know, 9 to 1 of, you know, any kind of marketing activity that you could undertake. But it was probably when I was working for the Commonwealth Bank and, you know, working very closely with specific partners and smaller guys at the time, like Roses Only, had very clever ways of partnering in the early stage of their business with, you know, big groups like the Commonwealth Bank and bumping out the incumbent bonus partners like Interflora. And so seeing the method that they use, but then also seeing the transformation to their businesses and the, you know, the huge amount of redemptions, you know, the millions of dollars that they generated through those programs. And, you know, obviously most people are aware of Roses Only, and James is now over establishing Roses Only in New York, having sold the Australian arm. You know, the rest is history. He's done incredibly well on a global scale, and a lot of his success was thanks to partnerships. So for me, it was exciting to see, you know, and this is a dozen years ago when I worked at CommBank, or more now, and it was very exciting to see that partnerships can work for companies of all sizes. Partnerships can work between two smaller companies, a small and a large company, and I've been having lots of conversations with other partnership professionals in other organizations and listening to the insights that really reinforce the framework that, you know, we've developed through the experience we've had over the last 2 decades. So the trending now between startups and large companies partnering has never been more prolific. And really any organization that doesn't have partnership capability is at a disadvantage, in my point of view.
You had me at 9 to 1. So after this session, will every business owner be able to go into the office tomorrow and start listing out or start making some plans to be able to go build some strategic partnerships in order to help them grow some revenue in their business?
Absolutely. And the interesting thing is we're constantly, you know, looking so far outwards in terms of, oh, you know, but who are the right partners and where are they? And you know, I better jump on LinkedIn and start searching for some new connections. And we're all looking for new and more. But the interesting thing is that I can guarantee almost 100% of organizations have underleveraged assets and underleveraged relationships already in their business. So I was talking to the head of partnerships for an incredibly successful and fast-starting startup in Australia, and their first partnership with a very large national retailer is what got them on the right foot with then securing other large partnerships. And I said to him, you know, how did you get that first partnership? And he said, well, one of the board members had a contact there. So it's usually that simple. And once you get that first one under your belt and you start to build your confidence in the results that you get and in the way that, in how easy it can be, then they start coming to you. So I said to him, you know, how do you attract and how do you create new partnerships now? And he said, well, quite frankly, we don't even go out looking for them, because we promote ourselves as a partner-friendly organization and we're really vocal about all these great partnerships that we're forming. They just keep rolling in. And that's exactly how it should work once you build a reputation for being a partner-friendly organization.
It's absolutely brilliant. I can't wait to unlock some of those hidden gems. Enough of the chip chat. Let's jump into the meat of the episode.
If you want to ask Simon or us any questions, just jump onto Facebook and search for More Time, More Profit Group and ask away. So jumping straight into it, we're talking about how to generate sales through strategic partnerships. But before we get into the framework, can you tell us the difference between affiliate, strategic, referrals, joint venture, as there's so many different types, just to give everyone some clarity?
I'm really glad you asked this question, because it's been a huge bugbear for me when people are asking for the wrong thing. And that's usually one of the number one barriers to forming an effective partnership. So I've got a really simple analogy for it, which is that a marketing partnership, which is where you should always try to start with any relationship, you know, to start small and soft and start to, you know, get some quick wins and build trust, is like dating. So, you know, you don't really know them that well. You haven't really done much together before, but you're going to do a few little you know, fun things and test the water together and get those quick wins, not hard to get across the line and not hard to start to see whether that's actually quite a good potential relationship. And your referrals, just to be specific, your referrals and your affiliate kind of relationships quite often fall into that end of the bucket. The strategic partnership or the strategic alliance is more like an engagement. So you've had some good wins, you've built some trust, you can see that there's some great opportunities to now build on this relationship. So you might start to look a little bit more laterally than just marketing. You might start to look at whether there are other assets you could leverage, whether there are products you could co-create to solve a particular market need. And that's where it can get really exciting. And you might have under-leveraged assets that you can monetize, such as warehousing or your staff. You know, you might sell shoes and you might have a partner who sells stockings and you can upsell through your call center and you can fulfill through the same warehouse. So it can start to get more exciting and it can start to leverage the four key benefits of partnerships, which is growing your audience, building or leveraging your brand, finding money or monetizing assets. And if you can start to look at every opportunity like a, you know, a three-dimensional cube, you're going to start to leverage a lot more value out of every opportunity than probably what you've done before. And then on the other end of town, you've got the joint venture. So a lot of businesses, particularly smaller businesses or people who haven't been in the corporate industries, start to talk about joint ventures. So joint ventures in its purest sense is like a marriage. You know, it's getting into business with somebody. It's way more entangling. Co-founding a company, you know, that kind of joint venture is, you know, way more committed and way more entangling. So it's very, very important to understand the distinctions, because if you go out asking, particularly if you're asking a corporate or somebody that's got a corporate background and you're starting to talk to them about wanting to joint venture, it's the equivalent of going on a first date and saying, so should we talk about marriage? It's good.
Like, people don't do that.
Going to freak them out, going to shut them down. So not a good idea.
I'm guessing at the other end of the scale, it's probably not the best to run off to Vegas and get married in one night either. You're probably best to go on a few dates and then have that engagement and do it all over time and then eventually end up in the JV relationship, isn't it? But if you go straight into it, then that's when you talked about entanglement. I think anyone that's been in a toxic relationship, that entanglement is very hard to get out of.
Look, it really, really is. And I've seen so many people make mistakes, and particularly, you know, we've got one client who's doing extremely well now, but when I met her, she had this fantastic app for babies that she created based on her own life story and you know, a situation she ended up in. And at the time, she ended up a solo mum with a baby and a young child, and she was an ex-CEO, and she wanted to build this app to meet a market need that she identified, but she didn't have the resources. So she went to a marketing agency that she knew, or an app development agency that she knew. And this guy really took advantage. You know, he partnered with her 50-50, but still charged her to build the app at cost. So you know, his risk was completely covered and he got 50% of her business as well. So, of course, she really drove the growth of this business. And then in working with us, started to white label and we started to repurpose it for different target markets. And it really started to take off. And this guy was just sitting there with his feet on the desk, already very wealthy for a good reason, and you know, and taking 50% of all the profits and really not doing much else to build the business. So she had to buy him out. And her first white label partner, who was a national retail chain, she had to give the entire licensing fee to him just to get him out of the business. So for that next 12 months, she built the business with no licensing fee pretty much with that partner. So, you know, it was very difficult for her. And now she's free of that relationship and she's, you know, she's going from strength to strength. But you can see that, you know, at the time it might seem like the easy way out, but giving away a chunk of the business, you know, before you need to, when you understand how to strategically partner, you can arrive at the same result without having to get into that entangled relationship. So really, really important. Yeah, I agree. And I was having a coffee with someone yesterday who found it ironic that I'm divorced, because I'm in the business of partnership.
That's how you learn to get so good at it, I'm sure.
It's why I don't joint venture. I just believe in strategic partnerships. You know, it's gone on to, you know, most of the time it's going to achieve your objectives. And when you're ready to commit and the trust is there and it makes sense, then absolutely that might be a path you'd go down. But there's a process. You can't, talking to some guys this morning in partnerships, and they said, you know, you can't rush trust. You can't force an avocado to ripen. it builds over time, and you've got to be patient. And but you can get those quick wins through the marketing partnerships.
No, that's awesome. So if we're looking at strategic partnerships, what is kind of like the framework or the process or the steps that you walk every one of your clients or affiliations through to ensure that they implement a strategic partnership correctly, irrelevant of the industry, the space, or the product or service they're offering?
So look, I'm yet to come across a type of business or a stage of business where the partnerships aren't effective. So even in the early stages of building this business, you know, I partnered with James Tuckerman, that many people may have heard of.
Good old Jimmy.
Good old James.
Anthill.
He's a lot of fun.
Yeah, he's good for me.
And, you know, I hadn't built the product yet. I had the framework, but I didn't know if the market wanted it. I didn't know if they were going to get it. I didn't know exactly how I needed to build it out, because I've got the curse of knowledge. And, you know, we all get so caught up in our own area of specialty that we throw around a lot of jargon and confuse the hell out of people. So, you know, I partnered with James and we ran a webinar, and then I got some people to buy the program at a really, really good price. And I built it as we went. So, you know, even at that very early stage, it was low risk. It was something really new and innovative for James's audience. And for me, it helped me validate how I needed to build it to meet the market need. And it kind of went from there. So, you know, I've done partnerships at every stage of the business. And there's a set framework that you follow. And the interesting thing is that we work with a lot of organizations that, or people that are, you know, good at partnership. They do partnerships already quite naturally. Other people, they haven't even thought of it before, and they kind of go, oh, wow, I have been doing it, but I didn't realize. But what they love, and even other partnership specialists who kind of, you know, naturally do the same thing that I do, having the partnership capability and having a framework to follow, it just takes that and puts it on steroids. You know, it just amplifies the success, because suddenly you're more consciously competent about exactly how you need to go about it and what steps you need to follow. Most cases when partnerships fail, people rush to the end and they don't follow the sequence. So the sequence doesn't have to take a long time, but there's definitely a set of steps that we follow. So our framework has six steps. Step number one, always the best place to start, is get partner ready. So a lot of people, you know, just run out there and they start wanting to partner, and they go bank, airline, supermarket, you know, and they kind of go for the, you know, the usual suspects, and they don't really understand what they're trying to achieve in the partnership. And then down the track, they kind of go, hang on a minute, this wasn't what I expected or what I wanted. So really important aspects of that step is you've got to be very, very clear on, you know, your business and what you're trying to achieve. What is your objective? Now, your business objective, not I want three partners by the end of October, because that still doesn't tell you what outcome you're actually trying to get. So, you know, what's the business objective? Who's your target market? Be as specific as you can. What are the company's values? Because it's very, very important that you have value alignment with your partners, or that you have a very good awareness up front if there's, you know, if there's differences in those values, because that can impact your brand and your audience and make it difficult to make the partnership successful. You've also got to understand if there's any gaps that you need to fill. So a lot of people rush out and they go for a huge partner and then they actually can't support it. So, you know, I have seen businesses, and I was responsible for negotiating a partnership when I was at Commonwealth Bank with a large retailer that we didn't realize were in trouble already financially. So when the partnership grew the business by 700%, they went broke because they couldn't handle the growth. Fast growth can kill a company as quick as slow growth, or if not faster.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's really important that you go for the right partnership at the right time. And those are the steps you need to take to make sure you do that.
Is there any way for us to sort of, I don't know, do like a short list to validate whether or not they're in our thought of a correct target market, whether it be a bank or an airline, is actually the same target market? Like, is there an approach that you suggest to people for them to walk through that?
So, look, in terms of identifying the right partner or identifying the right target market?
Target market, I would say.
So, you know, I mean, look, really it comes down to, I mean, we've done a lot of trial and error in my business, you know, working out, look, who's our ideal customer, who's our ideal client, and therefore who are our ideal partners who reach those clients. And as a result of all of that, we've built different programs that suit different budgets and different stages of business, because we found our more advanced program was over the head of, you know, some businesses, depending on where they were up to, or some people. And they didn't need, you know, the extent of strategy that we covered. They kind of said, well, you know, I just want some quick wins, and, you know, we just want some simple marketing partnerships. So we responded to it in that way. But, you know, we have to look at, you know, who's getting the most value out of your product or service? You know, who are the customers or clients that you just love working with and they're advocates for you and that are high value? You know, it goes back to that 80-20 rule. Who are the 20% of your customers that deliver 80% of the value? And they're really the target market that you should focus on. And the more specific you can be, the better. So you might say, oh, mums are a great target market for us. Well, you know, is it all mums or is it, you know, mums 35 plus that live in certain suburbs that have kids aged 2 to 7 that have these kinds of habits that like to stay fit, that eat organic food? If you can get more specific, you're going to find it much easier to get a highly aligned partner. And it's not the biggest partner that will get you the best result. It's the best aligned partner. So it doesn't just work to go out and say, oh, we're in, you know, in pensioner insurance and therefore we want a family four-wheel drive partner because the target market's different. So we'd say there are three golden rules to the perfect partnership, and that's having a win-win intention, having an aligned target market, and having aligned values. So they're the three things you're looking for, and the intersection of those three things is where your ideal partners sit.
Yeah, that's absolutely brilliant. What about the second step?
The second step is understanding your assets. So lots and lots of organizations, I mean, the biggest dilemma, this is the next problem we face, is people say, oh, you know, what have I got to offer them? Why would they want to partner with me? I don't know what to offer. I'm not even confident going out and talking to partners because, you know, I don't think I've got anything to offer. And most of us undervalue the assets that would be of value to a partner. So it's a really important exercise. And we obviously have processes that we go through to actually do this, but you know, at a basic level, it's really important to sit down and understand what your assets are. So even when I worked with Commonwealth Bank, I walked in there, and even an organization of that size, they had the largest loyalty credit card program in the country at the time. The way they were going out and pitching the partnership was almost apologetic. It was almost like, oh, so, you know, do you think you might like to be a bonus partner? And they weren't going.
Please, solid pitch.
And, you know, and that already sets a tone where the other party is going, oh, hang on a minute, these guys don't have that much to offer. So it's very, very important that you understand what assets you've got. And sometimes, you know, it's the stuff you just wouldn't even think about. Like we've got one client who has shoulder-length brown hair. She's a woman of a certain age. She presents brilliantly on camera. And she's one of the most experienced and credentialed space strategist, and when I say space, I mean like wardrobes and walk-in pantries that you've ever met. And she partnered with Howard Storage, who were absolutely thrilled to have someone that, you know, a talent, a content talent that could provide the content, the look that resonated with their audience, that, you know, presented so well on camera. I mean, they were absolutely thrilled, and that partnership really flourished, and it had a lot to do not only with her credentials but her personal assets, because you can imagine that to go out and just get a model, it's very different. And it's particularly in this day, you know, in this day you can see that the reality TV stars are really popular. And so, you know, sometimes it could be your voice, it could be, you know, a Guinness World Record that you hold, or there's just some really wacky stuff that a lot of people don't consider as assets that partners absolutely love. And so we go through quite a comprehensive process of evaluating assets. And then we look at how do you amplify them and how do you repurpose them. So there's some really great ways, because, you know, you talk about most businesses of any size are resource poor. And I think the biggest benefit of partnerships is that you're reducing the wastage of resources, and you're taking resources that you've already got, and you're filling a partner's deficiencies and they're filling your deficiencies. And so, you know, everybody's better off when you know how to go about it. So that's really exciting, because all of a sudden you've got all this stuff already there that you can better leverage.
Absolutely brilliant. That could be something as simple as just like you've got a large email list and they don't, or you get a lot of traffic to your website and you can promote them as well. And there's so many other things that we think, oh, well, you know, we've got it, but they might not necessarily have it as well. What's the third step in the framework?
The third step is partner prospecting. So, you know, again, a lot of people just skip to the third step and they go, right, who should we partner with? And then they're confused. They're kind of going, oh. And your obvious partners are not always your best partners. So the thing to remember, the key takeout here, is that the right partner wants you as much as you want them. And if you can't see the value that you can deliver in a partnership, or if you don't understand what the partner, you know, how you're going to engage that partner and solve their problem, it's very, very difficult to make that partnership happen. And sometimes it's just about timing. You know, quite often, you know, don't rush out for a partnership you're not ready for, because there's steps you can take to make sure that when you do go to them, you've got really high probabilities of success. And you're not burning that relationship early on, because quite often you only get one chance to make a first impression.
God, this sounds a lot like dating, doesn't it?
I was out one night with some business colleagues who said that they reckon they saw me in a bar actually following my methodology.
Just without the framework. Okay, no, you can't go to the bathroom yet. We're only at stage 5 in the framework.
What assets do I have? mutual benefit.
Look, I love that. I can honestly say for anybody listening that may be single or maybe wanting to, you know, better leverage their existing personal relationships, it actually does work personally and professionally.
Strategic partnerships for Tinder.
So we've found the right partner. What's the next step in the framework?
And look, just in terms of the partner prospecting, sometimes it's as simple as just understanding your customer journey. You know, who else are they buying with? What else are they thinking about? What other problems do they have? And what other partners will enhance your client customer's experience of your product or service? And, you know, and who else has your ideal client? They're the kind of key things you want to be asking yourself at that stage. The fourth step is the offering. So again, this is where people get really stuck. So, you know, at step 3, a lot of people are chasing the wrong partners. At step 4, they get there and go, oh, I don't know what to offer, or, you know, I don't know what I want the partner to give me. So the key issues that I find here is you've got people who found a, you know, pretty good opportunity, and then they're not sure what the offering should be. So I've seen people go out and offer affiliate commissions that their margins can't support. So they're actually losing money every time they're getting a sale through that partnership. So you've got to be really careful, and you've got to understand what types of partnerships are going to suit your business. And so we go through 10 in our advanced program, we go through 10 different types of partnering models. And we have a matrix so that the people, you know, in the businesses can evaluate what types of partnerships are actually going to suit my business. Affiliate partnerships aren't for everybody. Sometimes there's regulatory constraints. You know, there's lots of stuff you've got to consider just to understand what's the right kind of partnership. At a very simple level, it can be a simple content offering. But again, even if you're giving a content offering, where I see them offerings fall short is if my objective was to grow my database because I know that when I communicate, I get a certain conversion rate and therefore I get a certain return on investment, then okay, my objective may be to build the database, but I might make an offering, I might do a competition or something or offer content. And if I don't have a call to action that meets that objective, the partnership result kind of falls into a bit of a hole. So it's really important that you're very clear on what is the offering that suits your business that's going to meet your objective. So you see how you can start to tie it all together? They're kind of like building blocks.
Fantastic. Step number 5.
Step number 5, and sorry, just on 4, I always forget a few things, is making sure you're asking the partner for what you need. So I see a lot of partnerships where they say, oh, I'm always giving stuff away and I never get anything in return. And quite often they're not asking for what they need. Most partnerships, you know, people want to reciprocate. They want it to be successful. So that's really important. Step 5 is sealing the deal. So, you know, again, this is the step that a lot of people rush to. It's like walking up to someone in a bar, not saying hello and just pinching them on the bum.
I've done that before. Come on.
I was going to say, what's wrong with that?
You mean that doesn't work?
No, I usually ends with a slap in the face. And likewise, you know, I hate it when people send a connection request on LinkedIn and they don't say anything. You know, they don't send a personalized message and say, you know, hey, Simone, I saw you speak at this event, or, you know, look, I think that, you know, I've got a client that might be interested in partnerships, or, you know, you say something. Don't just send a generic request, or even worse, go and do LinkedIn training and then send the template to everybody that says, I want to share updates and stay in touch. It's like, you know, it just shows you've made no effort. It creates suspicion. Why are you connecting with me? I don't understand. LinkedIn's really powerful if you use it properly. And again, you wouldn't walk up to somebody in a bar and just shove your phone number into their hand without uttering a word. So likewise, you know, that you've only get one chance to make a first impression, and sealing the deal is all about making sure you go through good etiquette when it comes to connecting with the right partners, having the conversations, understanding their needs and engaging with those needs, and, you know, patiently. And as I said, it does. I mean, bigger partnerships do tend to take longer, but you can turn around smaller partnerships very quickly if you just follow good etiquette. And that's what we cover off in Seal the Deal. And you've also got to understand the logistics and the implications of, you know, what you're trying to set up, what needs to be done to make sure it's executed well, what agreements you need in place. And as I said, you know, your simple marketing partnership really doesn't have to be complex. And that's why the framework's so good, because it kind of makes it a bit of a no-brainer in terms of going, you know, yeah, I've considered everything. I may not have to do it all, but I know I haven't missed a really critical thing that's going to come back and bite me in the bum later on.
I think that's brilliant. I think we reached out to you on LinkedIn as well, and here we are, so we must have done something right there. What's the final step in the framework, number six?
The final step is where a lot of partnerships fail. So you've gone through all, you know, some people do all the other five steps really well. They've got this great partnership. It's working really well for them. And then they're lying back in their UGG boots and flannel pajamas, smoking a cigarette going, well, it was good for me. And you know, the next thing you know, someone's come along and off their partner goes with someone that's kept them engaged. So really important step number six is manage and leverage. Once you've put all this effort into, you know, confirming a really great partnership, how can you build on it? How can you appreciate your partner? How can you keep them engaged, and how can you stay in touch with what's really important to them? Because we all know everything changes so fast. You know, are they reaching out to a new target market? Are they introducing a new product or service? You know, are they having any issues that you could help solve? Where the partnership started is not where it's going to stay. And the exciting thing about partnerships is the opportunity to build on the trust, build on the results, and build on the relationship.
Absolutely awesome. Grant, have you got hand cramps yet, writing away in your notes?
I was meant to write something.
So Grant's been scribbling away on his notepad there frantically. We've had lots of knowledge bombs being dropped in this show, and we could go on for hours talking about this, but we do have to wrap this one up. Grant, can you come up with a bit of a framework or some points that you've taken away from today's show that people go into the office tomorrow and start working towards building those strategic relationships within their industry?
Definitely. So just off the top of my head here, number one, we're going to get our partner ready. So this is where we need to understand our business objectives and outcomes clearly. Who is our target market, right? So who do we love working with? Who pays bills on times? And now what other businesses do they interact with? What values must our partners also have? And what gaps do we need to fill in our business before we can go out and actually start working with another partner, right? And we always want to align with a win-win, align target markets, and even the same values. Number two is we want to understand our aligned assets, right? So what assets does your business have? What assets do their business have? Is it sales, content, personal assets? Do they have a following? Is it their product, their service, their team, their background, network, email list, traffic? Like, the list is honestly endless. And then the final part to that is really, how do you amplify your assets and scale them? Because you don't want to be hindered by actually having too many leads or too many strategic partnership connections through that. Step number three is the partner prospecting. So we always want to have the right partner. And I think a really good quote that you had there was, the right partner wants you as much as you want them, just like a solid relationship. So you want to run through and understand your customer's journey. Where do they come from before they came to you? But where are they going to go to after they come from you? And that's where you can start bringing people in your journey and then progressing people onto other strategic partners. Step number four is our partner offering. So what do we want to give to others, whether it's revenue split, content exchange, etc., as we've sort of talked about in our aligned assets? And also, what do we want to get from them? And we always want to ask our partner what they need and get them to understand what we expect from them at the same time. So it's never just a give, 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 or a take, take, take. It's always two-way. Step number five is sealing the deal. So I always want to be personal and never use a template. Adam, I hope we didn't use a template. So we want to share your real reason for connecting with them. We don't want to just say that we want to follow them, right? We always want to have that real reason behind it and understand, engage with their needs. I think this is critical for sales as well. You never just want to push a solution to someone. You want to understand their needs and their problems before you start trying to solve a problem. And then you also want to just make sure you've got all the dot the I's and cross the T's. So put your agreement in place, put your legals in place, just to make sure that everybody's protected. And the final step, just like a well-rounded relationship, is manage and leverage. So we want to build on the relationship, keep them engaged. This can be manual and automated. We want to understand their new problems as their business is growing, just like ours will, and also find out how we can add more value. So is there other things that we've started to undercover or expose now that we're working together so closely and over a long period of time? So Simon, how did I go?
Brilliant. You flying colors. You can come and work with us anytime.
My resume is in the mail.
Look, we just hit the tip of the iceberg on strategic partnerships. Where can people go to find out a little bit more about you, workshops that you do, seminars, websites, social media? How do they get in touch with you to start developing out their strategic partnerships?
So the best place to go is to our website, which is partner2grow.com, and that's a number two. And we've got some great free resources on there. We go through our framework. We've got various programs to suit different budgets and different stages of business. And we're very, very excited to have just confirmed our partnership with the University of Technology Sydney with their vocational training organisation, Access UTS. So we'll be offering our programs through them as well. So lots of great stuff happening. And, you know, if anybody has any needs around partnerships, it really is the most leveraged way to grow, but also to build resilience and maintain a competitive advantage. So if we could be of any help, we'd love to help.
Did I tell you you had us at 9 to 1? We'll be continuing this conversation over at Facebook. You can go to Facebook and search for More Time, More Profit Group and join in the conversation with us there.
Okay, thanks, everyone. Don't forget to jump onto iTunes, click subscribe, and let us know exactly what you've taken away from this podcast in a review.
That's it from us. We'll catch you the same bat time, the same bat channel next week. It's bye for now.
Catch that, everybody.
You've just been listening to More Time, More Profit Podcast. For more info, check out moretimemoreprofit.com. Make sure to tune in at the same time next week for another dose of real-life business strategies.